Well, good morning. We're going to return back, obviously, to James and into chapter 2, last part of chapter 2, verse 14 and on. And it starts us off with a question. And the question is, what good is it? What good is it? What good is it, brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Could such faith save him? This is a question that over throughout church history has caused quite a bit of stir and quite a bit of controversy. But it's a question that comes from the scriptures nonetheless. And as we begin to look at this text and some of the corresponding texts, we're going to take a good look and take a dive into it. The scriptures will tell us, you know, as we go on, it says, you know, what is it if you have somebody who is in need of clothing or food and one of you says to them as you walk by, you know, go in peace, be fed, you know, be warm. What good is that if nothing is done? You know, words are good. Words have purpose. They have a place. Somebody needs encouragement. We give encouragement with our mouth, with our words. But you know, when there's a physical need or something that is needed beyond that, words sometimes can fall short, as the scripture here shows us. They don't really have much of an impact. James says, in the same way as this example of just kind of tossing out some words to someone who has a physical need or that something that needs to be met, is the same way as our faith. If we don't put any action to it, we don't back it up. He says, your faith is dead. It's useless. You know, these can be kind of striking words for us a little bit, for those, especially those of us who have grown up in the church. You know, we can think to ourselves, you know, well, it's all about the faith, and as long as I believe, then, you know, this can kind of sometimes hit us like a bit of a punch in the face. But the reality is that belief, and just a belief from our minds, is not the end. It's just the beginning. We were never meant to be stalled out and just believing in my mind that, oh, you know, as long as I just believe in God, everything else will take care of itself. That was never the intention. It was never the intention of any of the New Testament writers. It was never the intention of the early church. Belief is a first step. But then there is always a call for action. I will show my faith by my works. Is that going to work now? Let's click to the next one. I will show my faith by my works. My faith will be reflected in what I do, in how I live my life, in the things I look at, in the things that I choose to read, the things I choose to watch, how I share my life with other people. My faith will be reflected in those things. Not just by the words that I say about myself. I will show my faith by my works. You know what? We can read this next part about, you know, even the demons respond. You know what? In some ways, even the demons have a reaction to their faith, I guess you could call it, in some regard. They shudder because they are condemned, but they still have a reaction to who Jesus is and to the reality that they believe. They believe and they react. There's a shuddering. So I want to ask another question. How then does our faith, your faith, my faith, how does that reflect back, knowing that we stand saved if you're a Christian? That we stand justified before God if you're a Christian? How does that reflect in your life? That's what we're going to look at this morning. The scripture on James, it gives us a couple of a couple of examples, a couple of living, breathing examples in Abraham and Rahab. And we're going to spend more time on Abraham only because the scriptures give us a bigger picture of Abraham's life. Rahab is an amazing story, and we see her in the glory of her actions saving the people of God. But we don't get a full picture of her life as we do Abraham. Abraham, we get to see him in a number of different circumstances, both good and bad. And for our example this morning, we're going to spend more time with Abraham than we will with Rahab. But I do not want to belittle in any way Rahab's story in the scripture for us, because it is deep. But we have Abraham, and Abraham shows us, and as the scriptures tell us, if faith without works is dead, as James says. Yet I want you to think with me this morning in another way to think about that. And that's like this. We have faith without works is dead, but in the same breath we can also say works without faith is also dead. Faith without works is dead. Our works without our faith is also dead. Now, another word for works, if you look up, it just plain and simply means action. Actions that we take. Things that we do. Places we go. Steps that we make. And maybe we can look at those two sayings a bit more accurately by saying faith and looking at them from the positive. Faith with works leads to life. Works with faith, works without faith, lead to death. Now, what do I mean when I say that? Faith with works leads to life. Works without faith lead to death. Well, let's look at Abraham. Abraham was known as a man of faith. He was known as a friend of God. He was so faithful in his actions that God considered him his friend, as scriptures tell us. Nobody else is that written about. Doesn't mean that God didn't have other friends. It's just it's recorded for us about Abraham. Hebrews 11 gives us a picture of his simplicity in faith, hearing God's word and obeying. And if you want to look with me, we'll put it up here for you into Hebrews. I'm going to throw it up there because I marked it, but it's gone. Okay, we're going to read this. So by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and set out for a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out even though he did not know where he was going. He had no idea. God said, I want you to go. And he left. Obey. Obedience by faith. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Just hold on that one. He steps out by faith. He hears a word from God. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your place you've grown up with. Everything that you've known, I want you to leave. And he steps out by faith, it says, not even having a clue of where he's going, just living his life for God. That's a man of faith, right? Would you say so? That's a man of faith. I don't know if I would do that. It's a man of faith. It's a man who hears God's voice. I mean, Abraham, friend of God, here he is. Okay, next verse. Sarah, his wife. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since she considered that the one who had promised was faithful. That's important. Therefore, from one man, in fact, from one as good as dead, I mean, he was old, that's what they're saying. You know, we shouldn't have kids. A little harsh way to put it there. That's the CSB for you. He says, from one who was good as dead came offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and as numerable as the grains of sand. Abraham and Sarah, the faithful, we could call them. They had faith. They're visible pictures of what faith and works look like, working together in unison. Not only for Abraham and Sarah did their faith pay dividends, but for the whole world, for you and I. Abraham and Sarah's faith is without question amazing. But there were bumps. There were bumps in the road. Big bumps. In fact, Abraham and Sarah got themselves into a world of trouble many times. And I want to say this to you. Every single time that Abraham and Sarah got into trouble, hear this. Oh, I lost it. Every single time they got into trouble, it was because they did works without faith. Look it up. Follow their journey. Every single time they got into trouble, they did works without faith. I haven't got permission from this gentleman, so I won't say his name, but he did some driving instructing for our kids, and he was really good. I got to sit in with him, and just a good guy. But he would say to my girls while he was instructing them, he says, "You know what?" He says, "I want you to think about one thing." He says, "I want you to, when you go through your day, when we go through these drives, I want you to think about this. You shouldn't say at the end of it, 'I should have.' Never, if you say 'I should have,' it's a bad day. I should have stopped at that stoplight. You know, that's a bad day. I should have buckled up. That's a bad day. I should have checked the registration in my vehicle before I pulled out of the driveway. That's a bad day." He says, what you want to do is you want to say, "I did. I did stop at that stop sign. I did stop at that stoplight. I did check the registration." So it's going to save you in your pocketbook. It's going to save you in other ways too, maybe even your life. And I thought that was pretty good advice. And you know what, though? It also speaks to our spiritual lives when we think about our faith and our works. I should have acted in a way that reflected my faith in God. That's a bad day. What you want to say is, I did act in a way that reflected my faith in God. Abraham and Sarah had some bad days. My mouth is a little dry. Sorry, we had that hockey tournament yesterday. I'm still trying to refluid my body here. But Abraham and Sarah had some bad days. You might recognize some of these stories of bad days, of times where I'm sure Abraham and Sarah looked back and said, "We should have." And wish that they said, "I did," or "We did do this." Sarah's handmaiden and the birth of Ishmael. I should have acted in a way that reflected my faith in God. Abraham calling Sarah his sister because of his fear of Abimelech. He did that twice. Neither time worked out very well for him. Both times thought he had to lie to protect himself. I should have. I should have. Well, thanks, Jamie. I did get one, but yeah. Oh, thank you. Man, that was... Thank you, Jamie. You know, one of the things I love about the Bible is it's honest with us. It's honest in its assessment of its characters that it portrays for us. The men and women who went before us, who lived and died in their lives. There are moments of just great triumph where we read, and, you know, for me, I'm almost brought to tears because I'm like, "Wow, that is awesome. Look what God did there. Look how he used those people." There's just great moments, "I did" moments, that we see and we read throughout Scripture. But there are also those moments where our Bible characters are forced to look back and say, "You know, I should have acted in faith there. I should have acted in faith and not on my own. How about us? How about you? How about me? I have those moments, I could tell you that. It's relatable because I think I can almost guarantee, I think I could pretty well guarantee that we have all had those moments where we look back on our lives and we say, I should have acted with faith in what God can do and not what I can do on my own. I won't make you put up your hands if you didn't, but I envy you. Those I should have moments. Some of us have wrecked whole days because of an I should have moment. Some of us have wrecked weeks, maybe months. Some of us might have wrecked whole seasons of our life. Seasons where we said, I wish I could go back and redo that. I should have acted differently. Does that resonate with anybody? Some of you are perhaps living in a moment right now where you're saying, I should have, and now I'm dealing with the consequences, or I'm dealing with the fear of having to deal with those consequences. Some of you are thinking about a moment and doing something where you know in your heart you're going to look back on it and say, I should have. Now for you, you have opportunity to still say, I did. And so I'm glad you're here. I should have acted in a way that reflected my faith in Christ and I wouldn't be in this situation. We do not want to be there. That's a bad day. I don't doubt that there is people here, you know, contemplating and thinking about things that in your own life that you're dealing with right now and you're resonating. And, you know, we can talk ourselves into all sorts of bad decisions. I mean, we're going to look at Abraham again. We can talk about ourselves into all sorts of things. And it starts, I want to tell you right now, it starts and you're going to feel this twinge. If you've done it, you'll recognize this. If you're in the midst of it, you'll recognize it. It's going to start by abandoning or at least justifying what we know is right. Rather than being justified by our faith and actions, we justify our actions by removing or ignoring our faith. That's exactly what Abraham and Sarah did. God told them that he would give them a child. I will give you a child. It was fairly straightforward. But they began to talk as time went on and they didn't see the promise being answered. They began to talk among themselves. And you know what? They started to come up with some things that we can look back on now and say were pretty crazy. Well, maybe God meant that you should take my handmaiden. And that we're going to have a child through my handmaiden. And somewhere along the line, that began to make sense to them. And they began to talk themselves into a bad idea. And what happened? Well, we still deal with the repercussions of that bad decision today. God told Abraham that he would protect him, that he would take him out of the land of Ur, and he would take him to the promised land. It was God's promise to Abraham. Somewhere along the line, when Abraham started to run into problems, he started to run into situations where he had to meet some pretty rough characters, some characters who intimidate him, he started to think to himself, I have to protect myself. Sarah, these are bad people. You're a good-looking girl. I want you to tell them that you're my sister so that they don't kill me because I don't quite trust. He never said that, but in essence, that's exactly what he said. I don't quite trust that God can protect me here. I need to do this myself. You know, we can look at these things in their lives and we can look back and say, those were ridiculous ideas. Because the idea doesn't start ridiculous. It starts in the mind. It starts to push when fear or pressure begins to unfold on their lives. And it starts to look like a well thought out process. And maybe God has, you know, led me to this place. That if we were to take a step back, we would say that is not ever how God would act. That is not in His character. But I want to tell you now that we've all done that. We've all made plans in our heart to act without faith. And when every time we've done it, it's ended up poorly. And we've talked ourselves into something that sounds right. But once we live it out, we realize it was completely wrong. And when we think back on it, we look back on it, we say, that was a ridiculous idea. How did I ever get there? Gradually. James chapter 4, verse 17 says, it is sin to know what is right and to not do it. You know, sin will always lead us to destruction. The scriptures promise us that. Sin will always lead us into destruction. Destruction of your life, and you know what? Not just your life, there's always collateral damage. There's always shrapnel, there's stuff that goes out that hits people who are close to you, or hits people who are around you. Sin has a way of doing this. And the problem with sin is that sin erodes your faith. They don't survive. Sin and your faith don't thrive in unison. You can't have sin and your faith, an act of sin that you are pursuing, and they don't benefit each other. In fact, one destroys the other. And eventually what happens, and maybe you've heard this term, eventually what happens is you come to a point in your life where you come to a crisis of faith, because sin will eliminate faith. And before long, what you have is the only thing I'm holding on to as I try to hold on to this sin I crave so bad is a small fraction of your faith. And eventually it will just disappear. Most people who have a pile up of I should have moments end up walking away from the faith. And it's because sin goes unchallenged. And eventually it just erodes away your faith altogether. Bad decisions lead to more bad decisions, and eventually there is no more faith. It's just sin. And then the world is wide open to where you'll go from there. And people don't want to get out of it. Because they feel stuck. That's what sin does. Sin traps, it ensnares. People don't want to get out of it. It just becomes easier to keep making bad decisions than to do what really needs to be done. And how do you get out of actions without faith? When you get stuck in that rut of doing actions without faith, how do you get out of it? How do you get out of sin that entraps? This is Christianity 101. How do you get out of faith that entraps? You confess and you repent. And that is difficult. That's difficult to do, but there is no other way to get out of sin that entraps. Confession and repentance. You have to start by making that tough decision. For some of us deeply ensnared in sin, that will be the hardest decision we ever make. Confessing our sin one to another and repenting of our sin. Really, the confession is the hard part. The repentance and turning with a clean slate of confession is actually not that difficult. So if you are stuck there, just know that. Take it from somebody who's lived it. And you know, for you and I today, some of us, this might be a minor course correction. We might think to ourselves, yeah, I am entrapped and ensnared. You know, I'm starting to make bad decisions. I'm starting to make, to do actions without faith. And I'm starting to just kind of go down this path. And for some of us, it's a course correction. Stop and just realign yourself with God and His will for our lives, for your life and my life. For others, as I've said, this will be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life. And you know that God calls us to confession and repentance. And the temptation for some of us will be to use another phrase, an I will phrase. I will do that. I will do that. I did is always best. You don't want to get to tomorrow and say, okay, I will do that again. I'll do it tomorrow. I will do that again tomorrow. You want to get to tomorrow and look back and say, I did that. I did that. I got out of that. I got out of sin. I did act in a way that reflected my faith in Christ. That's what brings life to you. And instead of destruction or collateral damage to those around you, that's what will bring life to them as well. It brings life. It breeds life. Those are people around us who see what's reflected in your life. You know, as we close here and we look at this, you know, James says that Abraham and Rahab, you know, and again, we didn't get to Rahab, but both of them believed, you know, and it was credited to them as righteousness, it says to us. These things were credited as righteousness to Abraham, that he was a man of faith, that he did faith actions. He had faith and he did it and he acted. And not only that, his actions were done with the purpose of showing his faith. Righteousness in this context is a reflection back onto Abraham. It was credited towards him to them as righteousness. Abraham believed in God. He had faith in God. And he acted on his faith. And yes, sometimes it was in repentance for the times that he acted without faith. Sometimes it was just simply obeying, that simplicity of obeying when God called to him. Obeying when God asked him to do something. But in those moments, when his faith was made complete by his actions, it was credited to him as righteousness. It was reflected to those around him and to us that he did the right thing. He did the right thing in obeying. He did the right thing in repenting when he was wrong. You know, I think one of the fears we get is that, no, people are going to look down on me for my sin. I don't want that to ever get out. I don't want anybody to know what I've done wrong. And yet, what works on the other side of that is people say, oh, you're a sinner like me? Funny. But you did the right thing. That's righteousness. That's reflected when you do the right thing. That builds the body. That strengthens the believers. What good is it if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? It's of no value. It is useless. It's dead. But when I reflect our faith in God, now our actions bring life. They bring life through Christ, and that's what He promised to do for us. You know, I wonder, and as I thought about this, and as just as we close here right now, I what would it look like? What would our community look like if, in rather that we do works without faith, we begin to do our works with our faith? We begin to live life in such a way that brings life to ourselves, to each other. To each other, right here in this room. What does it look like in our community? Where does the shrapnel of that go outside of this place? And that's good shrapnel, not bad shrapnel. If we could always start our days and our mornings or our ministries in this church with, we did, not we should have, but we did. We did reflect our faith by our actions. What would that do? I want to leave that thought with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, for whatever reason, you have joined with us on this journey. You have equipped us. You have challenged us to be obedient to you. You've given us choice to choose to follow you, to choose to do right, to choose to do wrong. You could have made us as robots, everything pre-programmed, but you didn't do that. And Lord, that is love. But God, we desire here, I desire here, right here this morning, if there are people struggling right now, they are in it. They are in it. They're in bad decisions. They're in things in their lives that they feel that they cannot get out of. Lord, I want to pray right now that you free them from that. Lord, there is freedom on the other side of that sin. And I just pray you would enlighten that in their minds. You would highlight that you're like the prodigal son. Your arms are open for them to come back. Lord, I want to pray as well for our body here, our people. I want to pray that we are a community that says we did. We acted with faith. We acted in obedience to you. Lord, I am so excited as to what this body of believers here and beyond can do when we live our lives in such a way that we live with our faith and our actions combined. Lord, I don't believe it's by accident that you asked this of us. And so may we come to that place, Lord, where we pull those people who are struggling in that sin out. And Lord, we are a people who live saying we did. And I just pray that over this community, God. And I ask that you would strengthen us, encourage us, that you would build us up to be your body here in Clive, in our surrounding area, in all places that you lead us into. To live out our faith in action. And Lord, we give that over to you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.